This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
Hey folks, welcome to February 28th. Welcome to Lineup Media and This Day in History. Tony Hubert here with you. My partner is Armand Kachigian. And today, February 28th, not a leap year, Armand.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
You're kind
of a... It's a prime number, though, I think.
You're kind of a guy who looks like he would have been born on a leap year, February 29th.
All right. We'll leap over that. When I'm a Leo, brother.
When you get to be 64, you'd say, oh, I'm just turning 16.
All right. Don't quote Beatles songs. All right, let's go.
Where are we going?
We've got some good murders here.
We do have murders.
All right, start with a good one.
How about I got to say this. I think this guy might have been a problem.
What are you talking about? He's a great guy.
Well, I don't know. It depends on perspective.
Conquistadores.
Yeah. Hernan Cortez, on this date in 1525, executes the Aztec king, Cuauhtemoc. How do you say this?
Cuauhtemoc. Cuauhtemoc. Yeah, I guess. Cuauhtemoc.
King executed.
You didn't pronounce Hernan Cortez correctly either.
Hernan?
No. Cesar Romero. That's who played him.
Oh.
Captain from Castile?
Yeah.
Probably Caesar. The greatest score maybe ever written for a movie.
Definitely in the top ten.
Not a great movie, long and boring.
But the greatest score. Alfred, better than John Williams.
Yeah. Alfred Newman outdid himself. That was one hell of a score.
What did Alfred E. Newman have to do with?
Not Alfred E. Newman. Alfred Newman, the patriarch of the Newman family, some of the greatest composers in film history. But I got to say, Alfred Newman was maybe number one.
Huh.
I'm going to go on a limb.
So that's your...
Wolfgang Korngold, Alfred Newman, Elmer Bernstein.
What about Enrico...
John Williams is up there, too.
What about Morricone?
Morricone, yeah, I like Morricone. But I'm talking about more U.S. guys. Mm. Max Steiner.
Okay.
Who's gone with the wind.
Danny Elfman.
Yeah, Danny Elfman's really good.
How about Stuart Copeland?
He does the Burton movies, doesn't he?
He's done a lot of the Burton
like
films.
Danny
starting
Elfman.
He was in Oingo.
He's one of the best living, I'd
He
say.
Was in Oingo Boingo.
Oh,
that
oh,
was his group
right.
back
oh,
in the 80s.
Yeah, I remember them.
They played a little set in, damn it.
How about Alan Menken?
Well, in Back to School, they were in Dangerfield's triple dorm room. Forget what the character, Melon.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay, in that movie, yeah. Back to School. Is that what it's called, Back to
School?
The band in
Back to School that they're playing at the party, that's Oingo Boingo.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Yeah, they're not bad.
From Hernan Cortez to Oingo Boingo. How about that?
All right.
Cortez.
I have no problem with killing Aztec kings.
He might have been a problem. He kills the king of the Aztecs. That's probably going to tick some Aztecs off, but he's already burned the ships.
Right.
There's no escape route.
He knew what he was doing. They had cannon. They had no problem at all.
Oh, it's all or nothing. He's like Kim Jong-un, who, by the way, have you heard this? Executed five people.
That's what he does.
By anti-aircraft artillery.
What?
Yeah. That's the report. I can't confirm it.
All right. I'll read up on that. All right. We don't use unsubstantiated stories on this show.
But you love to say people were blown up real good.
In my opinion.
Can you imagine? You're executed by anti-aircraft artillery.
Just as good as any. Sorry with me. I'm a guillotine man myself.
1784. Those damn Methodists. John Wesley charters the Methodist Church.
No problem with the Methodists.
Well, no one does.
Yeah.
No, I've never heard a bad word uttered about a Methodist.
They're harmless.
Yeah. Never. Okay. Never. I've heard stuff uttered about Catholics.
Yeah. Shakers.
About Lutherans. About Protestants.
Well, we're gonna get to some
never
some sects today.
Are we?
Sect.
When?
No.
When?
Sect.
Oh. Well, I know. Yeah, that's coming.
We're getting late.
That's coming down the list.
Yeah, these are just
preliminaries.
Yeah, I don't even know why you have
these. I get through the prelims because we got a juicy one today. 1827, the B&O Railroad is incorporated. That's the first American railroad that will offer freight and passenger transportation.
It's on the monopoly board.
I grew up on a B&O line. Oh. Baltimore and Ohio. Oh. Ran through Trenton, Illinois. All the way to Baltimore.
Congratulations.
No kidding. Yeah. Never once saw a passenger train go by.
I think CSX owns these guys.
It does. I think it does, yeah. I think they were that chassis system by the time I was a kid, even. I think real B&O was long gone. 1849, steamboat service, Armand. This would have been you.
What's with transportation?
I love transportation.
Now we got, and then we got the next one is communication.
I'd never do this, though. The SS California, a steamboat, west coast to east coast of the United States. You go all the way around the bottom. 4 months. 22 days after leaving New York Harbor, does it arrive in San Francisco?
The bottom of the boat. Oh, all right. No, you go around, getting keel hauled.
You go around the bottom. Tierra del Fuego, my friend.
Oh.
No Panama Canal at this time. You're telling me in 1849, you couldn't make it from New York to San Francisco faster than 4 months and 22 days by some fashion?
I think I would have rather taken the boat, to tell you the truth, though,
than go overland.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
That sounds like a nice trip. What's the matter with you? What happened to your love of travel and adventure?
I do love travel.
All right. Well,
but
what are you bitching about?
What am I going to see from a steamboat out in the Atlantic, and then I'm going to get
plenty
wrecked?
Of smoke.
I'm going to get wrecked on the rocks of Tierra del Fuego.
Oh, no, you're not. Everything's okay. What do you think? You're on the Bounty with breadfruit and Captain Bly?
Yeah, it could be.
It's probably a pleasure cruise. I bet they had some pretty good-looking chicks on that boat.
Well, you know,
showgirls.
You know, Butch and Sundance took one of those boats down. Yeah. They got off in Bolivia. Wasn't what they were looking for.
Yes, but as depicted in the movie.
Hell, it could have been the garden spot of all Bolivia, for all we know.
Yeah, but it was a nice song.
1885, American Telephone and Telegraph. They incorporate
in
New York.
Around. What's their symbol?
Oh, it's the globe thing.
No, I mean on the NYSE.
I don't know. Bell? Bell?
Simple. T.
T?
That's AT&T. Yep, I have that stock. Or I had
T.
I sold it.
One
T.
letter.
Yes, T.
For telephone or for telegraph?
Just T.
Why is the telegraph still even in there?
Well, for nostalgia purposes.
When is the last time they sent a telegraph?
Why do we have the United States of America? We're not united. You know that.
We're not even in America.
True. That too.
We're in, okay. I don't know what the hell they called this before we got here.
We're the divided states of the Western Hemisphere.
But so it was interesting, though, Armand. AT&T was a subsidiary of American Bell. Then American Bell would later merge with its own subsidiary.
I'm not familiar. I sold the stock. Who cares?
There must have been some sort of, accounting.
They have a good dividend, though.
Accounting trick going on there.
Well, you want a good dividend, buy AT&T.
1893, the USS Indiana.
Not to be confused with the shark-infested Indiana. That's Indianapolis.
That's the Indianapolis, right. Which delivered the bomb.
I just did confuse it.
Which 700 men went into the water.
Yeah.
And... yeah, the Sharks got a lot of them.
Robert Shaw. Oh,
that's a great speech. You want to hear that speech?
No.
Uh-oh.
I gave it the other day when we
Well, I think.
Oh, he wrote a book about, or he wrote a play about the Cole Street Conspiracy or whatever, some kind of British history.
Cato Street Conspiracy.
Conspiracy. Right?
That's it.
Well, at least you remembered something.
No, Cato Street. So the Indiana becomes the first battleship of the United States Navy. That's comparable to
comparable. Don't ever say comparable. That's not how it's pronounced. Comparable.
This is pronounced comparable?
That is comparable. It is not comparable. That is another one of your solecisms.
Did I proffer a solecism?
Yes.
Oh, my.
You proffered one. Clean it up.
Comparable.
Call the janitor. We have
comparable.
A solecism on the
linoleum. Got to get that out of here. So anyway, comparable to the battleships of the time, which basically
I don't know about that. I don't think it could have taken on any of them. But it's here again. We're trying to we want to get our piece of the imperialist pie here. So we got to have battleships.
1922, the UK ends its protectorate over Egypt with a unilateral declaration of independence. How nice of them!
Yeah.
I thought Egypt did not gain independence until later. I didn't know it was.
I'm trying to think of who was. I guess it was. King Farouk, huh? I think it was Farouk.
Probably. 1939. Now, this one's just for you.
I looked at this. I don't know what the hell you're talking
about.
Well,
the erroneous word "dord" is discovered in Webster's New International Dictionary, second edition, and it prompted an investigation.
That's what got me.
Well, they want to know how the hell the word got in there.
All right. What do you need a Senate investigation or like Kurt Schilling or
no? Just some English majors.
I don't know. Prompt an investigation.
You're a dord.
Okay. I don't know.
Wonder what they were going for.
They had better things to investigate.
Or some.
I wonder what the definition was.
They had to have a definition. It just couldn't be a blank. 1940, basketball televised for the first time ever. That's pretty impressive. 1940.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't think we'd have these sports channels from what? Maybe February through April or March, I guess. You wouldn't have anything to show if it wasn't for basketball. Nonstop.
Nonstop, baby.
A little wrestling on there, will you?
Well, look, the Big Ten Network.
Yeah.
They do a good. They have wrestling.
They have one dual meet a week. They have like 52 basketball games.
Well, basketball.
Women's, men's,
Armand,
midgets.
I hate to tell you, basketball pays the bills.
I know.
Anyway, this first televised game was between Fordham and the University of Pittsburgh, held at the, I'm going to say the second Madison Square Garden in 1940. Maybe it was the original.
I don't know. I'm not sure I can look that one
up. But they're pretty impressive. 1953, James Watson and Francis Crick. Now, they make a nice announcement here, but they only announce it to their friends on this date. Later on, April 25th.
These two guys didn't have many friends left.
They'll publicize it in the monthly edition of Nature.
All right.
But this is announcement that they have determined the chemical structure of DNA.
Well, there's some controversy about
this. Oh, we have controversy.
Yep. And it's comparable to the major.
Comparable?
Yes, it is. So anyway, the woman, Rosalind Franklin, who was at King's College and was an X-ray crystallographer.
Ooh, now, that's a fancy name.
Yeah, well, crystallography is when you have, you know, these crystals. When they're bombarded with X-rays, they diffract the X-rays in various angles and intensities. And by deciphering and collating these angles and intensities, they can figure out the structure of these molecules and atoms, et cetera. Well, she was the one apparently that did all the legwork on DNA.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, Crick and Watson were all wet.
At the bar.
It's a double helix, right? And they didn't have a clue what it was. And she showed them. Well, she didn't actually show them. It was her assistant, Maurice.
Mm-hmm.
Never trust a guy named Maurice. Right there.
Really?
Maurice
Why?
Wilkins. I don't know. It's just
one of the Bee Gees
it's a
was named Maurice.
Name. Yeah, he was okay.
Okay.
But I wouldn't trust him. Good singer though. But Maurice Wilkins showed Crick and Watson her picture. Now what it's called Photograph 51. It actually even has a name. And it's this that said, hey, by the way, it looks like DNA is a double helix, which means that it's got a twist in it. And it's got base pairs. The human, I think, has 3.2 billion base pairs. They all consist of the same four molecules. Adenine, which it links via a hydrogen bond to thymine. And guanine, which links to cytosine. That's all it is.
We have four enes.
Four base pairs, they call them. And that's what they are. And that's 3.2 billion of them in the human genome. And that's what they're linked up. And then that's what makes up your chromosomes.
So a double helix.
That's your genome.
You take a standard ladder.
Yeah, kind of twist it
around.
Let's
twist it a couple times if it were rubber.
Right. And then the rungs linked, those are hydrogen bonds linking the base, the adenine, guanine, thymine, and cytosine.
Is there any transference between the two sort of?
Well, there's all kinds of shit going on with that. That's the thing. There's jumping genes and there's pieces being taken out and put back in. Yeah.
Have you ever seen the video of the molecule sort of walking along?
A DNA molecule?
I don't know what it is.
Oh.
But it kind of walks like a, I don't know, like a squirrel on a telephone wire or something.
A trail. I don't know. Okay.
I don't know if it's real. But
I don't know if that's pertinent to this conversation.
No, but anyway, it says that's what's occurring in your DNA.
You know, a lot of these feminists, they think, you know,
what?
There's actually a Rosalind Franklin. I'm getting back to Rosalind Franklin.
Oh, okay, Rosalind.
I'm going to ignore that desultory comment. And, there's actually the Rosalind Franklin School of Medicine up in, which absorbed my podiatry school.
Yeah.
So now
up where though? Where are they located?
North Chicago.
Left by Loyola and Northwestern? Or?
No, it's past that. It's up in North Chicago. It's the city of North Chicago.
Oh,
not
the city
far from
of North
Chicago. Great Lakes Naval Base.
Gotcha.
Same area.
Gotcha.
So instead of getting pleas for money every week from Shoal College, I get pleas for money from Rosalind Franklin School of Medicine, and I turn him down every
time.
Wait,
you went to be a foot doctor at Scholl?
Yeah. It's kind of college. Embarrassing. We call it Illinois College of Podiatric Medicine, but since Scholl gave them a $12 million.
They threw his name on it.
And he wasn't even a podiatrist. He was an MD. And, you know, so anyway.
Dr. Scholl.
Yeah, right.
Way to go, baby.
Yeah. It's a great figure of fun.
Did y'all have to wear the inserts?
Yeah, we had to wear, you know. had to wear a corn pad on our nose, all right, just to show our allegiance to the Scholl Company.
Oh, man. That's
all right,
good.
So anyway, you know, first of all, and they got some good shit you can buy. If you're diabetic, don't get the medicine-impregnated corn pads. You'll burn your toe off.
Ooh.
So just don't do that. But anyway, we're getting back to Rosalind Franklin. Some woman named Sayre wrote a book about her and all this sexism she experienced at King's College and everything, and I don't know. I didn't read the book. You know me and feminism. I'm against it. I'm for masculinism. And so anyway, it's kind of controversial.
We have controversy.
And here's the thing, though. So anyway, Crick, Watson, and Wilkins, Maurice, get the Nobel Prize. Thank you.
Sons of...
Right. She gets Zippo. She gets Bupkis. But here's the thing. She died in 1958. They didn't get the prize until 1962 because none of this shit was really proven until, and this is called the most beautiful experiment in biology.
Okay.
The Meselson-Stahl experiment. Yep.
And this replicated the finding?
Escherichia coli, apparently. They figured out, yeah, it's the DNA. That's what's happening, and that's how they promulgate their genes.
Watched a special on PBS last night about the African Rift Valley and the mitochondrial Eve
that's related to. That's number one right there.
Fascinating.
Yeah, I've read about mitochondrial Eve. Yeah. But anyway, it's not as beautiful as a Meselson-Stahl experiment.
Well, you know, as experiments go.
So anyway, these guys win after it's proven with the E. coli, they win the Nobel Prize in 62, and she's already dead. So dead people don't win Nobel Prizes.
No, they don't.
So there we go.
No, they don't.
But I like to think she really got screwed bad.
One more scientific note before we do some birthdays at the halfway point. The first color television sets.
That you call that scientific?
Yes, because... Not what's on it, but the science of how we actually see what we see on a screen,
well,
TV.
Would you like to explain it?
Well, it's pretty hard for me to say, but using the NTSC system, we don't have a cool acronym like...
Yeah, I have no idea what that stands for.
Anyway, this is
It used to be like, remember those old TVs?
This is the redrawing of the lines on the TV.
Remember they used to have that little thing, that little gizmo that would spin and had different colors?
And had the Indian war bonnet head.
Yeah. That was your color TV.
Yeah, yeah.
That must have been fun.
We'd sit there and watch that thing.
Yeah.
Or my dad or grandfather probably sat there and watched those for hours.
Yeah.
But anyway, the fact that you could get a color TV set in 1954... pretty impressive. I don't know who was broadcasting in color, of course. Doesn't matter.
I don't know. I'm wondering. That's a trivia question. Which one was the first show broadcast in color?
But if you want to look up the
Ranger?
NTSC, do so. And it'll give you a not very easy description of how the lines are so quickly redrawn that it's imperceptible to the human eye. And we get the motion that we see as television.
Well, get a load of this. The first national color broadcast. You want to take a shot? 1954?
Well, it's not Lucy.
No, it's not a TV show, by the way.
How about the Today Show, then?
Tournament of Roses Parade.
Well, that makes sense.
How do you like that?
Yeah.
January 1st, 1954.
If you want to show something in color, that does that makes a lot of sense.
All right. Well, there you go. I didn't know that. That's a good trivia question.
Tournament of Roses? I've been to the Tournament of Roses Parade.
I have, too.
Parade. Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. All right, birthdays.
I bet you didn't get laid in Pasadena. I have.
Well, come.
So there you go.
Okay, now we're tracking where we've gotten.
Yeah. You want to brag?
I been, let me think. No.
She was good looking, too.
Yeah. I hope so.
Well, all of my conquests haven't been.
Oh, well, yeah.
Got to be honest.
Yeah.
Had some dogs in there.
Full disclosure.
Yep.
All right.
By the way, Rosalind Franklin wasn't a real good looking.
No,
woman.
She didn't.
Yeah. Smart, but not pretty.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who was born on February the 28th? Some good ones today.
Yeah, I like it.
Some
like
real good
list.
Ones. 1903, Vincent Minnelli, the director, the screenwriter. He would marry Judy Garland. He would produce Liza Minnelli.
Yeah, but he's director, my favorite Vincent Minnelli movie. Everybody should see this. It's a pretty good expose of Broadway, Hollywood, not Broadway. Bad and the Beautiful, 1952.
Bad and the Beautiful?
Yeah. It's the one that Gloria Graham won the Academy Award for while she was sleeping with Nicholas Ray's 13-year-old son.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But it's a great movie, Bad and the Beautiful. See that. Vincent Minnelli directed it.
All right. 1906, Bugsy Siegel, the gangster.
Yeah, you wouldn't call him that to his face.
No, I would not.
You'd call him Mr. Siegel.
Mr. Siegel, how are you, sir?
Ben, if you're lucky. Yeah, they blowed his eye out real good.
Man.
Well, he was skimming off the top at the Flamingo. And
Who didn't?
Well, yeah, but you don't. Well, I don't think you. I wouldn't. Not with the mob's money. And Meyer Lansky couldn't save him.
Oh, boy.
And they said, you know, Lucky said he's got to go.
Was the Bugsy movie that Warren Beatty was in? I've seen
pretty
it.
Pretty accurate.
It's pretty good?
From what I've read, yeah.
Okay, so you would say that's decent historical movie fiction.
And you know who, and then, of course, Mo Green from The Godfather. That's
yes.
Bugsy Siegel.
Yeah.
They blowed his eye out, too.
Right through the eyeglass, too.
Now, this guy, you want to talk about getting laid in Pasadena. This guy had some pretty good-looking girlfriends.
Who, Bugsy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was banging stars and everything. It was kind of, you know, women love danger, you know.
Well, let me
quote HUD.
I will quote one of my girlfriends from very early on.
Yeah, this had to be many years ago.
The badass makes the girl's heart beat faster.
I like that. Love that.
She looked at me one day and told me that, and I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that.
Like the bad boy, yeah.
Yeah.
Melvin Douglas in HUD, he said, women just like to be around something dangerous sometimes. And that's why they liked HUD. And that's why they like Benji Siegel.
I think I was about 15 years old when that line was uttered at me. I was like, huh?
Yeah, now
really?
Well, through the years, you've
I started to
figure
understand.
Out the wisdom of it. Yeah. It's actually very profound.
Yeah.
Anyway, Bugsy Siegel, he's a small-time Jewish. He and Meyer Lansky came up together.
How about them?
Lansky had the brains, and Bugsy was
you
the
talk
protection.
About swimming against the tide?
Yeah.
Those two? They did it well.
He's an interesting guy. He wanted to be and as Warren Beatty said, he was friends with George Raft. They were the Raft did help him out. I think Joe Mantegna played him in the movie.
Yeah,
and he went out to Hollywood to be a movie star. I mean, that's what he wanted to be. He didn't want to be a gangster. And apparently, he's a pretty good looking guy.
Sure.
And the chicks loved him. And,
he had good
he
clothes
was dangerous.
Too.
Yeah.
Nice cars.
Snappy dresser.
Threw some cash around.
Right.
Who doesn't like that?
Yeah, and remember DeFrazzo, I think, was like Mussolini's mistress or something, and he wanted to get close to Mussolini so he could bump him off. That was true.
Oh.
Yeah. He wanted to assassinate Mussolini, and he was going to do it. So get me close to that guy.
And in exchange
He'll
for what?
Shit. Nothing. Just
nothing?
Just for his country. He's a patriot, man. Well, he knew what was going on.
He sure did. Well, it's good for business. It's good for business.
Yeah, it's just business.
Just business.
Okay?
Nothing personal.
Nothing personal.
Tell Michael.
Yeah.
1915, Zero Mostel, the American actor
and
comedian.
Yeah.
I say Zero.
He's big, big bulldog face.
Yeah.
He was good in, he's good in a lot of things. He's a funny guy. A funny thing happened on the way to the Forum, the movie.
Yeah.
He's funny. He's really good. And, of course, the producers.
The producers.
Max Bialystock.
Yeah. Max Bialystock.
He beats the hell
Bialystock
out of
Nathan Lane.
Bialystock and Bloom. Yeah, all that. Go to work. And she starts dancing. Oh, man. Oh, she's hot. Ooh, I can't do the show anymore. Ooh.
Okay, 1923, Charles Durning.
He's a good actor, too.
Very good actor. Were you talking about guys who had careers as character actors?
Yeah,
Durning, man.
He was great. He was good in Tootsie. Remember when he made a play
when
for
he falls in love with Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, yeah. Hey, don't sit so close to me. At the bar, the best scene's in the bar. Yeah, that was great. Charles, he's not one of our LGBT friends.
Oh, Charles.
Charles Durning.
I think he was also in the show with Burt Reynolds, Evening Shade. It was a pretty good sitcom for a while.
He was in all kinds of great stuff.
Man, and he passed away in 2012.
He was good in North Dallas 40, too.
Oh.
When the guy's good, he's saying.
Yes, yes.
When the priest is giving the place, take off your fucking hats. Remember that? That was great.
He's one of those guys who just he made the stars better. He really did.
Oh, yeah. Well,
he
great.
Made the stars better.
He made them better looking because he was an ugly, fat guy.
Well, because, Nick Nolte.
Really
that's who he's, come on.
Yeah. I wasn't, what do you say? I was just moving my lips. We're going to do 10 extra jumping jacks.
Oh, man. North Dallas.
And then after that big, long prayer and everything.
I don't think you can ever recreate that.
Was it Lyle Alzado? Lyle Alzado?
Lyle Alzado.
Got up. All right, let's go kill those cocksuckers. That's fucking great.
1929, Frank Gehry, the architect.
He's still around, this
He's
guy.
Still going, baby.
Yeah, Disney well, Concert Hall.
The
yeah.
Disney Concert Hall in Los Angeles, which I have not been to yet,
nice.
But my cousins have seen a couple performances there and are just enamored with
the nice place.
Guggenheim. Have you been to the...
Well, I've been through there.
You've been through,
yeah,
okay.
I've never seen a show or anything. Guggenheim and Balbo, that's that Bilbao, I guess. That's
Bilbao, right. Bilbao, up in northern Spain.
Bilbao.
Is that right, northern Spain?
I'm not sure exactly what part of the country it's in. But, you know, he's been accused of being like, you know, the socialists don't like this guy.
Because
apparently
don't?
He's the architect of the rich and, you know.
Well, that's okay, what good architects work for,
well,
generally.
Here's a quote. In the world we live in, 98% of what gets built and designed...
Well, I love it when you can't read your writing.
No, I got two things here. He designed the Hockey World Cup trophy. Did you know that?
Oh, I did not know that.
He's a big hockey fan, apparently.
Oh, fantastic.
No, here's what in the world we live in, 98% of what gets built and designed today is pure shit.
Oh, yeah.
Frank Gehry.
Yeah, it's just imagineless,
okay, yeah,
is
well,
what I would call a lot of it.
Corbusier.
Oh, that's awful.
And those Bauhaus guys
that's awful.
That want us all to live in these, you know.
Yeah, these rudimentary.
Well, just
like,
yeah.
Here's some Legos, kid. Build yourself an apartment
these
building.
Box-like living quarters.
Yeah.
That's, well, they want to make hamsters out of us.
Well, you know, if we do the show in St. Louis area.
Yeah.
If you take a tour around many neighborhoods in St. Louis, you'll see a lot of those 1920 four-family flats that are just square cubes of brick.
Well, that's all it is.
You know? And you can try to dress it up any which way, and you think, wow, that's, you know, sort of modern. That must be from the 50s, 60s. No, that's from the 1920s.
Well, that's when it all started with those guys.
Well, the German influence is what, you know, they had a lot of that. So you can see a lot of that in a lot of cities in America.
Well, they
even
didn't influence me.
No, no. And they got away from it rather quickly. What does that tell you? 1931, the American basketball coach, Dean Smith. Happy birthday, Dean Smith. He
what
passed
was he,
away.
Kentucky?
No. Oh,
North Carolina?
Yes.
All right. Who
shut
knows?
Your
I don't
mouth.
Know about a stupid sport.
1940, the twins, Aldo and Mario Andretti, are born.
I didn't know he had a twin.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. A lot of racers have at least a significant brother. You don't hear much about Aldo.
Did he race? But, well, it says he's a race car driver.
Yeah, he was.
Of course, Chelsea Clinton's a journalist, too, right?
Well, you know, no, he was. Like Richard Petty's brother, Maurice.
Did he win something?
I don't know if Aldo. Yeah, I don't know if. Now, Mario Andretti has won at Le Mans, won the World Driving Championship in Formula
One. Greats,
won the Indianapolis 500.
Yeah, he's the big
and
guy.
Won the Daytona 500. He did the last two in the same year.
What did he win?
1969, Daytona and Indy 500.
Oh, okay. Well, again, has that ever happened since?
That will never
I don't think
be replicated.
They were, one's NASCAR and one's what?
Well,
something else, right?
Back then, it would have been, in 69, it would have been USAC, which is United States Auto Club.
Oh, okay.
But then it was CART, then it was Indy Racing League, which it still is now.
Those guys get some good ass, too.
You ever see a race car driver with an ugly wife?
No, but they like it's dangerous.
Nope.
See? They like the danger.
Nope. I know a lot of race car drivers.
And I don't mean Carlos Danger.
No,
Who's
don't know.
Carlos Danger?
Oh, shit. Who is that?
Anthony Weiner.
That's right. Carlos Danger. That's his pseudonym. When he gets out there. Yeah. Much like Michael Vick's was Ron Mexico.
Oh, is it? Okay. What the hell did he have that for? Dog fighting?
I don't know. 1948, someone who, boy, I love her. And I'd love to see more of her. Bernadette Peters.
Remember her in
I love her from The Jerk.
No,
that's my favorite.
I liked her in, the one that was remade with Chris Rock Mean Machine. Remember Burt Reynolds?
Oh, Longest Yard.
Longest Yard. Remember she was a secretary?
Yeah.
She got him the x-rays and stuff. And she had to go to bed with Paul Crewe.
Such a cutie.
Yeah. They made her up to look like a zombie in that movie. I don't know that. What a hairdo she had.
Well, she packed some heat too.
She's a tiny thing. Yeah, we got something better that's coming up.
Yeah, she's a tiny thing.
I like Bernadette Peters. Good dancer too.
1950.
All right, here comes the big one.
Paul Krugman. Just for that raspberry.
Big raspberry. I hate
this guy. Just for that raspberry.
I detest this man.
And then
I hate this guy.
We've got the birthday of this gentleman.
Let me tell you something, Pandeo. You pull any of your crazy shit with us, you flash a piece out on the lanes, I'll take it away from you and stick it up your ass and pull the fucking trigger till it goes click.
Jesus.
You said it, man. Nobody fucks with the Jesus.
Is that the Big Lebowski?
Happy birthday, John Turturro.
Yeah, well, I prefer. I think his best role was Quiz Show, where he was.
He was great as Herb Stemple. I got to tell you, I thought he was great in Rounders.
Yeah, I like him in everything.
As playing Knish.
Guy's never won an Academy Award. It's
he's phenomenal. And my first encounter with Turturro was Barton Fink.
Yeah, but that one I think.
And that's not his best.
Yeah.
It's good, but it's not his best.
It's a tough role to.
Tough role.
You know, of course, he's a screenwriter, which right. means he's, you know.
Yeah. Kind of, well, he's working on those Wallace Beery films.
It's a wrestling movie, huh? But that great, that scene at the pool, kiss his feet. Remember that?
Now, who's the actor who did that?
I don't know, but he's great.
Because he comes into the office
stock.
And
he's gone. In a lot of them, yeah.
He's gone from studio director to a colonel.
Yeah, yeah, he's great. That was the war. Yeah,
but that was. Well, maybe I don't mean emotional wrestling. Well, maybe a little for the critics, but
yeah, I like the move. I don't know the part with Goodman though just was too goofy for me.
Well, you know, it's earlier Coen Brothers. Yeah. I think they had done that right after Miller's Crossing.
Well, that was good.
And they had a lot of critical.
Look acclaim. In your heart. Remember that was I just did or what, he blew him.
I
the
just
second
did.
Time. Didn't work the second time or whatever. Yeah, he blew him away. That was pretty good.
But Turturro, he has become so unbelievably famous. This is like he is in Joe Pesci territory in terms
of
one
icon.
Scene making a guy iconic, and it's the Jesus scene in The Big Lebowski. And he only comes on screen, I think, twice in the whole movie.
Right.
Twice. And that's
good
it.
Good actor. That Quiz Show is my favorite. And apparently Herb Stemple is nothing like that, apparently, because if you watch it, there is actually Herb Stemple is on YouTube, and he objected to his portrayal. But, I mean, what the hell? You can't just be a zero.
Yeah, but did he?
They're both still alive, and Herb Stemple's
but was
still
that,
alive, and so is.
Okay, how they treated the character, was that a bit anti-Semitic?
Well, yeah, I guess, but he said that wasn't the point. I mean, that was,
okay. Well, if Herb said it wasn't the point, then that's fine, but you know.
He plateaued.
They made him out to be this.
Yeah, he was a goofball. I mean, he's
really
a nut.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with this anti-Semitism, but. Well, because Dick Goodwin was, the guy who played. I don't remember who played him, but Dick Goodwin was Jewish.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
And he coined the term, the Great Society.
Yeah.
That's Dick Goodwin. He was Johnson's speechwriter. He's still alive, too, I think.
Yeah.
These guys are all in their 90s.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
1961, Radon Chong. Loved her in Quest for Fire, Armand.
I saw it. I don't remember which.
I was 10 years old.
Was she grunting?
You understand.
Yeah, I don't. It was good dialogue in that movie.
Eventually, they got the fire going, though.
Yeah, thank God.
And 1973, Masato Tanaka, okay. Japanese wrestler.
Gratuitous edition. I have no idea.
Tanaka!
Okay.
No? Nothing?
No.
Wrestler? Oh, my. All right.
He's no Jimmy right. Steamboat.
1983, all folks.
All right, here we go.
Now, this one is huge. This one is huge.
Listen.
Oh.
Come on, I'll give you a write-up.
Well, I remember this scene. I had seen about every episode of this show by the time this aired. Because it was already in reruns.
It just, I don't know, I just... The first three seasons with Henry and Trapp.
I know.
Can't beat him.
Flash forward here. So.
Yeah, let's...
Just in case, I left you...
Right now... Hawkeye's looking down at the helipad, and he sees the word goodbye.
Isn't that nice?
Well, remember, BJ wasn't going to say goodbye.
That's correct.
But he spelled it out for him.
Yeah, how dramatic. And I think Alan Alda and Loretta Swit were the only two that were in both that one and the first one.
Yeah, I think that's right, because I think even Jamie Farr was gone.
He was a little
he was
later,
out playing
radar.
The
radar. I don't know where the hell he was. I don't think he was in the first.
He's probably on a match game.
Well, he wasn't on the second one. He wasn't the last one.
That's the final episode.
It was not the last one filmed, by the way.
That's weird.
Yeah. The
so this is the last one aired.
Yeah, the episode the week before that was aired was the last one filmed, because they had filmed this like a month before.
Oh, wow.
So that one's called As Time Goes By.
Yeah, 106 million viewers.
I think it's still the tops, right?
It's still the record for the highest viewership.
Okay.
You will never have an American television event short of something.
Cable now, yeah. You got 500. Well, maybe.
In terms of a show, unless we have a situation where like we have another Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah.
But even then, there's going to be people watching reruns of Gilligan's Island instead.
Not me. If they assassinate Paul Krugman, I'm watching.
but you have to know in advance.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, I'll wait.
Well, in Korea, they probably, North Korea, they probably announce them.
I hate that. Hit him with an artillery shell.
Well, that's 1991, the first Gulf War ended on this date.
Thank God. Did we win?
Define win.
Yeah, there is no winning.
No.
And. Now, this one.
In 1993.
This one we definitely lost.
We set
the
stage. Thank
you, Janet Reno.
The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, your ATF.
Yeah, one of my favorite bureaus.
They decide to stage a raid down in Waco, Texas, with a warrant to arrest one David Koresh.
You mean Vernon Wayne Howell?
That's who I mean.
Yeah, that's him.
And in the end, four ATF agents and five Branch Davidians would die in the initial raid, which then started the amazing 51-day standoff.
And then 83 of them got killed at the end. So.
Good grief almighty.
Yeah, this guy had a pretty good... I don't know how these guys have these sects.
How do any of them...
I can't even get a gal to do my laundry.
How do any of them do it? How did Manson do it?
Eating blood and everything.
How did Jones do it?
Yeah.
How did the guy in San Diego with the comet, how did he do it?
Yeah.
How did L. Ron Hubbard do it? Somebody.
Ron Hubbard was cool, though. I mean,
yeah,
that guy,
but somebody.
That guy, he knew he was a, you know,
he knew he was a fraud.
A monster. Yeah, he was great.
But he embraced it and went with it
this
full.
This guy, you know, you join his sect, he's got to screw your wife. You know, okay, you're going to join up? I don't know. okay. I don't know if I want membership in this club. And then your daughter, too, you know, no matter how old she is. So, God, I don't know.
Unbelievable. Any thoughts on Waco and how they handled that? It's a blight.
I don't think they intended it, but you know, I
don't
know.
No, I don't think they did either. But
you raid a place, things happen, fires begin.
Yes,
especially when ATF is involved.
Do you remember watching this on TV?
Yeah,
and thinking, oh my god.
And it inspired, and not only that, they also now they say that, but you know, Terry Nichols and McVeigh. It inspired them to blow up stuff too.
Yeah,
the Murrah building. In Oklahoma.
Yeah, the Alfred Murrah building.
I'm put that in Janet Reno's lap, too, but she's dead, so we'll leave her. I won't give her a raspberry.
1997, the...
Here we go.
Okay, I got questions for you on this. We love science on this day in history.
Gamma ray burst.
The gamma ray burst, designated GRB 970228, strikes Earth for 80 seconds.
That's now, pretty long gamma ray burst. Usually they're milliseconds, but they can last for hours.
So this provides evidence to the scientific community that gamma ray burst can occur well beyond the Milky Way.
They all do. Yeah, they're none in our galaxy. These are all billions of light years away.
Yeah.
And they usually, it can be a supernova, core collapse supernova, a couple of binary stars. Merging, there's all kinds of, but basically it's just this huge. And
explain to me what happens though as we absorb a gamma ray burst for any amount of time.
Well, what actually happens is it's this tremendous release of energy in the gamma ray, and gamma rays are just wavelengths, so they're in the gamma, and they actually get longer. So there's an afterglow, they call it, where the wavelengths actually get longer in the electromagnetic spectrum. And I think in like, a few milliseconds, it releases more energy than the sun will release in 10 billion years, its entire existence. That's how powerful these things are. Yeah, think that over.
Maybe that's why we have global warming. We absorb those 80 seconds of gamma rays.
Well, it's just as good an explanation as, you know, what the
lunatics. What happens if we get hit by a real sustained
burst?
Yeah,
but these are, like I said, these are billions of light years away, so the actual,
well,
know, the
I get
actual
that.
Energy, you know, is probably pretty tempered by this time.
Okay, but what's the closest?
This is all through the universe. This energy that we experience.
Does this hop galaxy to galaxy, or does it stay within a galaxy?
No, I told you, it's billions of light years away. These happen.
So Andromeda Galaxy.
Well, farther, way farther than that.
Could send a gamma ray burst.
Well,
something
that's pretty close.
That's
actually pretty close.
Let's go out, because now we know.
Now, I don't know what that would do to us. Now, if it was in our local area, it'd probably, you know, burn
we'd
us
fry
a cinder. Yeah, God only knows, but we're so far away. But it's still detectable. That's amazing that it's even detectable. You know,
that's fascinating.
Billions of light years. That's how much energy is released by these damn things.
And what, you said what again generates?
It can be a supernova, or it can be a binary system of merging. Maybe okay. even black holes merging. I don't know. Anything that releases energy in this spectrum. And there's a lot of things apparently that do that. But that's how much energy is released.
You know what I'm excited about, especially as these new
GRB. Don't stand in the way of one of them.
Because GRB simply means gamma ray burst.
That's right.
As these new telescopes come online.
Yeah, I can't wait for the
We are going to see an explosion of scientific data. Actually, Armand, in the second half of our lives. But for young kids today, boy, by the end of their life term.
I don't know about that. You know,
I don't know.
I thought by the end of our life we'd be on Jupiter. And
yeah,
be
yeah.
On
we
Europa.
May not. Okay, we may not be off
anywhere.
This rock.
Did you see? Did you see they want to? What's the name? A Musk going to send a spaceship to the moon?
Yeah, orbit it.
Yeah,
I'm all
year.
For it. I sign me up.
Well, you got to privatize this stuff.
Yeah,
and I got to tell you, whether you like Trump or not, he's right on the money with his NASA. $2 billion a year they spend on global warming research. What the hell are they doing studying global warming at NASA of all places?
It's aerospace.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
National aero.
Let's get us to the moon again, will you, please?
I just might
study
really.
Global warming.
Even after I die, if you have to put me on a rocket and get me off this thing, I just want to get off this rock.
Forever?
No.
You can get off for like 20 minutes.
No. I'm okay coming back.
Oh.
But I want to know I made it up and out. For some duration of time.
Not me. I just want a beautiful robot that I can sleep with.
Oh, God.
You know, if we can send a man to the moon.
You are, for such an erudite man, you have real simple
needs. That's
right.
I'm a pervert. Yep. Very intelligent perv.
Finally, for the events, the Pope on this date in 2013, Benedict.
Big mistake.
The 16th, he resigns as the Pope.
Why did he do that? Now look at the jerk we've got now.
No, Francis,
I hate this guy.
Francis is tremendous.
I'd give him a raspberry, but
Why?
He's not worth
Why?
It. Why? Because the guy believes in global warming. He's a socialist.
Okay.
Argentinian. Come on. Get out of here.
Oh, he's tremendous.
Oh, he's awful.
He's really a man.
Give me a rabbi anytime. Jewish guys are much better.
What? He actually lives the gospel.
What?
He does.
What are you talking about?
Oh, God. I'm
Can
not,
you give
I'm
me an
a,
example?
Yeah, he doesn't go in for all the trappings of the papacy. That's one of the first things.
Oh, big deal.
Big deal? All these other guys lapped it up.
He's pro transgenderism and all that. Come on, where's all this stuff in the Catholic? First of all, what does he have? What right does he have to comment on these things?
He's the Pope.
Wealth redistribution. Yeah, he's a Pope. That means he's infallible with religious arguments, or infallibility.
Well, first of all, infallibility they only voted on like 115 years ago.
Yeah, well,
first
I vote
of all,
nay.
Okay.
I hate him. You like him?
No. Why would you hate? Why would you hate a guy living?
He's the Catholic version of Paul Krugman.
Oh, for goodness sake!
Paul Krugman in a costume.
All right.
Who
died?
I like Benedict. Benedict was a good guy.
Who died?
All right.
Harry James.
Henry James.
Harry James,
the trumpeter. I believe
he is a trumpeter. Henry James,
or a cornet. I don't know.
The American novelist and critic.
Yeah,
also
I like Henry James.
Short writer.
Got a couple of books you probably ought to read. I mean, Daisy Miller. That's probably his best one. But I'll tell you what. You want to scare the piss out of yourself? Read Turn of the Screw. That is one scary little novella.
Boy, it's been a long time since I read that.
Turn of the Screw.
Yeah.
His brother was brilliant, too. William James, father of American psychology. That
wow.
was a pretty smart family.
Wow.
Yeah,
Henry might have been the black sheep of the family writing these novellas.
Yeah, his sister was a good writer, too. I think Amy, I don't remember.
All right.
She made him Pope.
2004.
Oh, read The Art of Fiction, too. Gotta be written.
There
read
you go.
By any writer.
The Art of Fiction.
Art of Fiction. Great.
Go
great
to
book.
thisdayinhistorypodcast.com, click the Amazon banner, and go look for The Art of Fiction. We haven't had a good book recommendation today.
We just did.
Well, I got one coming up as well.
Okay. I got another one.
Daniel J. Borsten, died on this date in 2004.
I like this guy, too. Read The Discoverers.
Well, I've got both The Creators and The Discoverers.
I read The Creators.
And I bought The Discoverers when I was.
A little conservative for you, isn't it?
No,
guys
not at all. Well, it's a fascinating read.
Yeah.
The Discoverers?
Yeah.
Because, you don't have to sit and read it cover to cover.
No.
You can chunk it out and pick and choose. And then he did The Creators as well. I think I bought The Discoverers when I was...
Do you have that too?
Early in college.
Bring that to the office. I'd like to...
hold on. See, I owe you two books.
Yeah, what was the other one you were supposed to bring?
I owe you The Discoverers.
See, now I have everything on Kindle, so I don't even... I can't lend anybody
any
books.
There was one from yesterday.
But I ordered
show.
A bunch of them on Amazon,
Damn
of course.
It, what was that?
I got a bunch of them on Amazon.
Son of a
I just...
Gun.
Like four or five I got to read now.
Yeah. No, it's a good... It's an enjoyable, because you can just do a
like
chapter at a time.
I like his reading.
You can read it over the course of years.
Bit conservative.
No, you don't. But
he is.
Oh, that's fine that he is, but you don't have to be a conservative to read his work.
You have to be a conservative for me to like you.
Well, that's beyond
if
the
you're
point.
A liberal like
I don't,
the Pope,
I don't
you
want
get raspberries.
You to, I don't want you to like me.
I'm not talking about you. You're okay. I might get you. I might get you in line.
I've been in line a long time.
Nah, you got to get away from this Pope.
I will
be
on the right side of history, Armand. 2007, Arthur M. Schlesinger Jr., the historian and critic, he passes away.
He's a little liberal for me.
Okay, I thought so. And in 2009.
I used to like him.
Hold on. I got to reset
this.
We're
going to hear him?
Oh, yeah. We're going to hear this guy. Because this, folks, this
Listen,
is a voice.
Cut it short. We got to talk about the Oscars.
This
today.
Is a voice for radio.
Okay.
Yes, now you know the rest of the story.
Was he saying
now
this guy?
You know. The rest of the story.
You know what made Paul Harvey great? He took his damn time.
Oh, yeah. Well, he wasn't in a hurry, yeah.
No, that's the brilliance of
was
it.
Was he a St. Louis guy?
Because
the guy that does it now is from St. Louis, isn't he? Or is it, am I thinking him?
Well, you know, a lot of people
Nuri,
get...
like after midnight
a
or
lot
whatever?
Of people,
is that St. Louis thing?
Well, George Nuri broadcast from St. Louis.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking. I don't know, Paul Harvey.
But see, a lot of people get associated with St. Louis because at some point they worked at KMOX, one of the 50,000-watt clear channel stations, okay? He's born in Tulsa.
Okay.
Made radio receivers as a young boy, did Paul Harvey. And let's see, spent years at KVOO in Tulsa, and a station manager at KFB. Here's a great call letters for a station. You ready for this one? KFBI.
Oh,
that is tremendous.
I always thought it'd be good. KTEX, Kotex.
Oh, please.
Well, I guess it's not going to work.
I tell you what, it's call signals go. I interned at, in college, I interned at KSHE, one of the classic rock giants in America.
And there's WSHE in Miami.
And there's WSHE in Miami. WSHE and KSHE. And also, a call signal that I've never understood why is not out there is KSTL.
Don't we have one?
I don't know.
Yeah, there is
we do?
One.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or KCHI. WNYC.
Yeah.
You know, because the LA stations did a good job.
Yeah, well,
you know, because there's KTLA, yeah. And yeah, they did a marvelous job.
Well, they're
with
proud
that
of their city.
Mm-hmm.
These guys aren't.
Yeah.
Now we have a real. I'm going to give a quote from this next one.
Oh, 2011, she passes away. Boy, this is a good one.
Yeah, she was discovered by Howard Hughes, which that's a euphemism if there ever was one. For The Outlaw, which they made in like 1943, but they had to mess around with the censors for years and years. Apparently, he made her a cantilever bra to push her up. Yeah.
Cantilever?
Yeah, she didn't wear it anyway. She told him she did, but she didn't. But anyway, yeah.
All right, so favorite movie by Miss Jane Russell?
Gentlemen Prefer
Blondes. It's got to be, right?
But yeah, she's a good dancer, good singer. I like it. But here's what she says. Now, listen, this is Jane talking. I always say I'm a mean-spirited, narrow-minded, right-wing conservative Christian. I start out with that. And if you don't like it, you can lump it. I am not politically correct. Atta girl, Jane. You don't mess with her. She never had kids. She couldn't have kids, so she's a real big anti-abortionist, of course. That's Jane Russell. She's also in The Born Losers, remember?
I don't remember that one.
With Billy Jack?
I do like the scene, though. In The Aviator, where Howard Hughes, played by DiCaprio, has to go in front of the, the censorship board.
Yeah.
And
about her, yeah. About
and it's about the outlaw, and it's about her memories.
Yeah.
And they
Well, you know how Bob Hope introduced her. The two and only Jane Russell. So
she had some nice Dagmars.
Oh, boy. Those were nice. Yeah, good headlights. You can see way down the road.
I think, seriously, is the term headlights, the euphemism
I like
headlights,
that one. That's
is that
my favorite?
You can kind of attribute it to her, right?
You could attribute a lot to her. Yeah. She was something, yeah.
Now, this doesn't involve Jane Russell, but I wanted to ask you, have you seen that this Joan Crawford, Betty Davis series is coming to FX?
I saw that, yeah. I guess when they were making
Feud.
When they were making, I think we've talked about this, maybe not on this show, but on Ocho Man, because when they made, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane?
Uh-huh.
Oh, they beat the hell out of each other.
Oh, I can't wait to watch this.
Because there's a part like where Betty Davis has to drag Joan Crawford across the floor, and Joan had like all these rocks in her dress, so she'd be real heavy. And they hated each other's guts. Oh, yeah. But that's what makes they're two bitches going
so
at it.
So who's playing? Okay, so Susan Sarandon. Oh, Susan Sarandon. Susan
old.
Sarandon.
She's old and
no,
she's prunish.
No.
She used to be hot.
Mm-mm. Still is.
No.
No, she's still shooting under par.
What are you talking about?
You never heard that term?
No.
So if you're still shooting under par, you're not 72 yet?
Oh, you really? She's got to be close.
She's getting there. She's getting there.
Oh, your throat's all crepey.
Oh, come on.
She's not good looking. She never was really what you would call a hot-looking woman.
She's uniquely beautiful,
Armand. Yeah, that means she's ugly.
No, it doesn't.
Uniquely beautiful. Uniquely beautiful. She has a great personality.
And who is it? Jessica Lange is playing.
Now, she's good looking. She was a beautiful woman.
Boy, you take all the way back to all the way back to that 76 version.
Out of that, though?
Well, no, it's an eight. Okay. They have an eight episode.
Yeah,
arc.
They were supposed to make, because that was such a, you know, they made that movie on a shoestring. I forget who directed it, but Robert Aldrich, and they thought, this is just two old bags, you know, having one last fling, and they had a real shoestring budget, and they thought it was going to be nothing. It was a huge hit. And they said, let's make another one. Hush, hush, Sweet Charlotte.
Sweet Charlotte.
Well, Joan Crawford never going to work with Betty Davis again. And so she kind of got sick, apparently. So Olivia de Havilland took her place.
Oh,
but yeah, that was one great movie.
My last death for the day, another great character actor. Boy, I love this guy. He was also on a lot of commercials.
Yeah.
Selling you a lot of stuff.
I like him too.
George Kennedy passed away in 2016.
Academy Award winner for what? Now you got to know this. Dragline, Stay Down. Remember, your beat, Stay Down.
French Connection. I don't know.
Cool Hand Luke.
That's right. Well, he was.
My boy says he can feed 50 eggs.
He was in so many movies in the 60s and 70s.
He was in Spartacus.
Good grief.
He stood up and said, I'm Spartacus. That was his one line. Yeah, if you check him out.
That's a good one
line. He's like
the
second guy to stand up
and
say
that. Is that the Kubrick Spartacus?
Yeah, 1960. He gets he's like one line.
Damn.
That's it.
And what a career!
He's in one of my favorite movies, "Lonely Are the Brave" with Kirk Douglas. Oh, great movie!
I gotta look up his filmography because
what?
Again, if you don't mind working,
what was his last movie? I saw him in something not too long ago. He was somebody's dad, and I didn't even recognize him. It must have been his last movie. If you can look that up,
I'm looking. The Gambler.
Maybe that
he was in Another Happy Day in 2011, The Gambler in 2014.
Maybe it was a game.
That's his final film
Might
role.
That was one with Wahlberg, right? Wasn't it?
I think, yeah.
Yeah, it was his dad, I think, at the beginning. Yeah. What else did I like him in? I mean, he's in a lot of.
Well, Naked. Okay,
naked
first of all,
Gun stuff,
Naked
yeah.
Gun. I mean, the way he set up Leslie Nielsen. Oh,
yeah.
Tremendous. How many airport or airplane movies was he in?
Yeah.
Okay, Concorde, Airport 79.
Right.
Airport 77. Airport 75.
He worked. The guy worked. And then he made those, remember they made those breath mint commercials?
Yes.
Now there's a guy you look at and you can practically see his bad breath.
Look at the run. Okay, now
you know
on.
That guy had
yeah.
bad breath.
Oh, yes. Look at the run he got on. I'm going to work backwards. This is George Kennedy, 67, Cool Hand Luke, Dirty Dozen.
Yeah, of course.
68. In Harm's, 65, In Harm's Way, Sons of Katie Elder.
Right.
64, Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte, McHale's Navy.
Okay.
63, nothing big. He's not listed for Spartacus on here, dude.
He's in it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Take my
word
for it.
Well, you know what? They probably did, like.
Well, it's a partial filmography.
Right, yeah. It's a.
Yeah. Lonely or the Brave, he did in 62.
62, Lonely Are the... Yeah, yes, he did. Yeah. Lonely Are the Brave, Deputy Sheriff Gutierrez.
Yeah, he knocked out Kirk Douglas's tooth. Mm. Yeah, remember, he goes, hate to lose those back ones.
Yeah.
Or hate to lose those big ones. Remember? Telephone Call.
Death on the Nile?
Yeah.
Let's see, what else? Right. What else?
Hercule Poirot.
He was in Bolero.
That's right, he was. Boy, that was
That didn't suck.
He needed a paycheck, yeah.
Yeah.
George, yeah. Come on, have some standards.
I bet the set wasn't closed that day.
I bet he banged, what's her name?
Bo Derek. Bo, yeah.
John Derek wouldn't let anybody near her.
No.
In fact, he fired one Tarzan because he was getting a little too friendly.
Too friendly?
Her. Yeah, no. He didn't like any poachers.
Last television appearance was Young and the Restless.
Oh, okay. Great career.
Oh, man, what a career.
Yep.
The Untouchables, Gunsmoke, Bonanza.
Well, you name it. He did a lot of TV, obviously.
Yeah, everything.
George Kennedy. I like the guy. You could tell he's kind of a likable guy, too.
Yeah.
Not afflicted with stardom.
He hosted Saturday Night Live.
Okay. I can see that. He had a sense of humor.
Well, that's
a funny guy.
Wow. All right. Okay.
Now, do you want to speak something?
I do.
What is your comment?
We generally never revisit history that just happened.
Well,
but
this won't get
to talk about this for a year, the Academy Awards. What a finale.
A fiasco.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it was.
Were you actually up for that?
No, I turned it off after Emma Stone won the actress.
I didn't get that far.
And I watched Homeland on Showtime.
Okay.
And then Facebook started to blow up, and all these my phone starts to, the notifications start going off. And I'm like, okay, what the hell? It's 11:30. What's going on? And I finally get to watch a video of it. I'm like, oh, that sucks.
I'd say it's probably the biggest things probably since that streaker. What's his name? Opal. That guy ran across the stage.
I think it's the biggest event at the Academy Awards since Brando sent up the
Sasheen Littlefeather.
Sasheen Littlefeather.
Wasn't even an Indian. She was like,
it's even better.
She wasn't even a real Indian. She's an actress playing an Indian. That's great. Yeah, isn't that wonderful?
Oh, Brando. Just mocks
them. That's the way to do it. So anyway, yeah, it's.
Can you imagine though, the panic backstage?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The story I think is pretty well.
Well, who was the guy that screwed up the Miss America, Miss Universe?
Oh, Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey. Yeah,
he's
he
off
blew
the hook.
That too. Yeah,
he's
that
off
poor
the
guy.
Hook.
This is nothing compared to that.
No, this is no. That's small peanuts.
Yeah.
That's bit. Here's the thing. They have duplicate sets of envelopes.
Yeah, but right.
Because
aren't they supposed to destroy them though after?
Well, I don't know.
Get rid of them.
But because
after they award the thing,
you have people entering from both sides of the stage.
Yeah.
So because you don't know. Who's going to enter from where? Because there's so much backstage traffic. They came up with a system because they've also had, they have a system in place for if the presenter goes rogue.
Okay, well, good idea.
Which I would love to see.
I don't know what that means, but yeah, I don't know.
Well, if you get up there, open the envelope and just announce something else.
Oh, well, that's what I think Jack Palance did.
That's what they,
yeah
that's,
apparently, well,
okay, that's the Marissa Tomei rumor. It's been put debunked.
Okay.
Marissa Tomei won it. The accounting firm said she won it.
It said it was the only name he could remember.
It didn't make much sense.
Yeah.
But she won it.
Yeah.
Okay. But PricewaterhouseCoopers, who are the only people, the two people who know the winners. So.
But you're Warren Beatty. You know all this. Don't you think he'd at least deign to read the damn envelope?
But here's what happens. He did read it.
What, the cover of it?
No, he read the card.
Yeah.
He pulled the card out, and he said—
Before you read the card, don't you read the envelope? It says Best Actress on there.
Well, I don't know if he read that because—
Yeah.
Because
he didn't, obviously.
They hand you the card. You walk out.
You don't deign to look at it.
Here's the other thing.
Wait a minute.
Faye Dunaway and Beatty did not rehearse.
Well, that's obvious.
Okay. They said, there was some sort of disagreement between the two and about who was going to get— They didn't rehearse. They didn't do a walkthrough. So— A card gets handed to Beatty. He walks out there. He pulls the card out. Now, he clearly has stated.
Oh, yeah. You know. He's confused.
He's confused. Obvious. And he's like, something's amiss. And then he shows the card to Dunaway.
Yeah. Even
and
she.
Dunaway, who I'm going to guess, looked at the card and saw
La La Land
and totally disregarded seeing Best Actress and Emma Stone on the card.
Right.
Blurted out La La Land.
Well, I would even give. I just think. I mean, you don't even. I can imagine if you know that there are envelopes lying. You just. I mean, like when I go into a room with a patient, I always look at the chart. I mean, it's kind of a, it's kind of a reflex.
I get it.
Is this the right chart? Because every once in a while,
I don't
want to
cut
chart.
Off the wrong foot.
Well, yeah, at the hospital, you definitely. But I mean, even going to a room, you don't want to call, Tony Hubert. You don't want to call him, Pope Benedict. You want to look at the chart. So they give you an envelope. It's right on there. He's like, wait a minute. I'm doing best actress here. I thought I was doing best picture.
Yeah,
oh,
but
sorry,
he's got
Warren.
The envelope the other way to break the seal.
Yeah, but before all this.
I know. But you're Warren Beatty.
You know Murphy's Law. Yeah, right, exactly.
You thinking of this stuff?
He's getting a little old, too. I guess not.
That's what
in
you
retrospect,
get.
I guess not, but I don't know. I thought people at least look at the envelope.
I've never understood why they just don't reveal it on the screen with and just have the presenter turn. And it'll appear on the big screen.
Well, from now, I don't know. Maybe they'll do something different. Although, you know, first of all, a very lackluster, you know, show turned into something really historical. So
yeah.
It probably didn't hurt anybody.
Yeah, I liked when Kimmel brought in the tour group. That was a good bit.
I was asleep by then.
That was a good bit. Yeah.
Well, I was here in the office. I slept in the office.
Oh, wow. Well,
so, of course, I'm watching.
LMG Studios, home to the stars
of the
LMG Network.
I had a little Oscar party here.
Spacious Studios. You can drop by and you can watch some of our hosts even sleep here.
I'll be here.
There you have it. All right. That'll do it for today,
women
Armand.
Are welcome. All right.
Good day, February 28th. It's in the book. Don't forget, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or Podbean to This Day in History podcast, and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/thisdayinhistory. Well, when March 1st rolls around, coming up, we'll be here to tell you about it on lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.